Welcome to the Arise Shine podcast with Pastor Glenn Schleck. Today's episode, as well as every weekly episode, will feature teachings from the Bible from Pastor Glenn. If you have any questions about any of the messages or you'd like to contact us, please do so at rdugall@emmanuelloveland.org. God bless you as you continue to grow in Jesus.
Thanks, Miss Martha. So last week, we heard from Jonah. And that was the Jonah of being swallowed by a giant fish fame, Jonah. And Jonah, we heard, preached this half-hearted, yet very stirring, turn or burn sermon to the people of Nineveh, which, it so happened, caused people to come to believe in God. Tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands. Now, with that, little did we know that that turn or burn sermon of Jonah was going to be a precursor to what we're talking about today. Burning, fire. It's all throughout the scriptures. And to help get us all into this idea of purification by fire, I want us to take just a moment to think about this, or I would actually encourage you to brainstorm with the people you're sitting around some of the different places that we see fire in the Bible. Now, prior to getting ready for this sermon, I really hadn't thought about it that much. But once I started, it is everywhere. So, take a moment, think, brainstorm, talk together. What are some of the places that we hear about fire in the Bible? Okay, take a moment. All right, what are you coming up with? Fire in the Bible. Help me out. What do we have? David, say again. Moses, the burning bush, right? God speaking out of the burning bush. Where else? Fire. Rhonda. Okay. Nice. The battle of the prophets. Elijah against the 750 prophets of Baal, and God came down and with fire consumed Elijah's water-soaked sacrifice. Okay? What else do we have? Kyle? Okay, Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, the fire and brimstone raining down, destroying those two cities. Where else? What else? Alyssa. Pentecost, yes, we had what looked like tongues of fire on the disciples' heads, sign of the Holy Spirit. What else do we have, Aaron? Yeah, references to hell. We have that in Revelation, the lake of fire, the sea of fire, other places, Gehenna, the garbage dump, the burning, that is typified or pictured. Picturing hell for us, all right? What else do we have? Bailey? Ooh, okay, Adam and Eve, they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, and God set two cherubim, two angels with flaming swords to guard that, to keep them from coming back in. Okay, any others? Brian. Nice, we have the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud as God's people were walking in the wilderness for those 40 years. They followed either the cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night. Good? Any others? Greg. Ah. Nice, post-resurrection. After Jesus had risen, he had made a little fire. Cook some breakfast for the disciples. So we've got the coals on the beach. Good. Blake? Isaiah had a coal, live coal from the altar, touch his lips, cleansing fire. Robin? Okay, Elijah the prophet being taken to heaven in a chariot of fire. Beth? Wow, you guys are really good. So Jesus, or Peter, standing around the fire denying Jesus three times. You guys are far more awake than 8 o'clock was, man. Way more awake. Arlene? Oh, yeah. The burning of the sacrifices at the temple and throughout that whole system of sacrifice for hundreds of years, all that burning of sacrifices. Good. So, well done. Fire is everywhere and carries lots of different meanings and some different significance. A couple that I had come up with that I'll just mention briefly are maybe a little more on the other side. In Hebrews, God is referred to as a consuming fire. We have Nadab and Abihu who offered incense when God did not command it, and they got consumed by fire. There was another guy, Korah was his name, and he had gathered 250 people to rebel against Moses. They were consumed by fire. I also, you didn't mention the fire on Mount Sinai when Moses went up to get the commandments. And I wrote this down. This was response because it struck fear into the hearts of the Israelites. This is in Deuteronomy. They said, "This great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, we shall die." And the other one that really ties into what we're talking about today with purification is just that. Fire that would purify. We have references. There's a single reference in Leviticus someone shared with me after 8 o'clock. But we have the prophets use multiple times these examples of silver or gold, these precious metals being refined, purified by fire, all the dross or the bad stuff getting burned away. So it really is. Fire is everywhere and a very significant image. Picture that we have in God's Word. Now, I'd like to take a look at fire from two different perspectives. And again, I had warned you at the beginning, we're going to go deep with this. So I want you to hang on and to travel down this path. The first is this. And this is tying repentance, honest repentance, to purification and fire. So repentance means that we are totally consumed by the fire of God's wrath. Okay, let me say it again. Repentance means that we are totally consumed by the fire of God's wrath. Now to get there, we need to go back first of all to an ongoing piece that I hold up throughout this series, and that is honesty. To get here, we need to be honest. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with God. We need to be honest with each other. We need to be honest with the fact that I do not have life together. I'm not perfect. I've got issues. I've got problems. I am, in the words of an older confession that we used to use, I am a poor, miserable sinner who has sinned against God in thought and word and deed. Or, in our current confession and what we use through many of our series from 1 John chapter 1, that says, you know, if we're not honest with ourselves, or in the words of 1 John, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we claim we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar. Now, harsh statements, but we've got to start there. Honesty. Because sin has infiltrated every aspect of our lives and every aspect of our world. So back to that statement. Repentance means that we are totally consumed by the fire of God's wrath. Not just our bad parts, not just the sinful parts, but all of us. All of me, we are totally consumed by the fire of God's wrath. We need to go back to ash. The ash of Ash Wednesday. The ash of honest contrition, of truly being sorry for the sin in our lives that was demonstrated predominantly throughout the Old Testament. It's referred to over and over again. A visible demonstration of that contrition, that sorrow over sin, is that they would put on what? Sackcloth and ashes. We need to go back to the ash of "you are dust, and to dust you will return." The ash of death, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Now, we submit to God, and in confession, we honestly and humbly place ourselves under the fire of His wrath. But hear this, we don't stay there. We should not stay there. There must always be a resurrection. There must also always be a rising from the ashes, a rising from the dust, a rising from death, a rising to life. Now, the mythical bird, the phoenix, is a kind of a cool symbol of that throughout time. This beautiful picture of out of death, out of ashes, comes this beautiful bird, this beautiful thing to life. Now, Jesus, we know, is no myth. He is the one who stood in the place we could not stand. And He was totally consumed by the fire of God's wrath. He took upon Himself the sin of the world, all of it, all of ours. He took it on Himself and died the death we deserved, but died the death we couldn't live. We could not be there. It had to be Him. And out of the ashes of death, He rose to new life again. And because He did, we can submit humbly and honestly. And in turn, our rising from the ashes comes as we hear Jesus' words of forgiveness and of love. Total and complete grace. And it's that forgiveness that allows us then to live fully and to live freely. Jesus commands us, invites us to follow His ways, to obey Him, to do what he has said to do. And he lays that out, he commands that, he invites that, not because he's a power monger and wants to manage every aspect of everyone's life, but he knows that as we do that, we will experience real freedom, real life, because he knows what's best. He designed it. He created it. And he knows how real freedom and real life is found through honest repentance, through truth, through Jesus. Jesus said it in today's gospel reading that Rhonda read for us, when Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And that takes us to the second perspective on repentance and fire and purification that I want to take us to. And to get there, we got to go back to Daniel 3. We have to go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fiery furnace. And what we're told here is that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. But there was one thing that did burn. Do you remember? It's kind of subtle. What burned? Kimberly? Well, yeah, they did. That was unfortunate that the servants at, or the guards, the soldiers that threw them in, yeah, they burned. But there's something else more subtle, Arlene. The ropes. Yeah. The ropes that bound them. Listen to this. So King Nebuchadnezzar had all three of them bound and then thrown into the fire. And then the king leaped to his feet, looked into the fire, and said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods." And real quick, as Martha had mentioned with the kids, that fourth, we believe, many believe, was Jesus, a pre-incarnate Jesus who was there, demonstrating again his love and his presence with them, protecting them where they were. But here, repentance means that we are not hurt by God's wrath, but the ropes that bind us are burned off. Okay, so that's that second perspective, that we are not harmed by God's wrath, but the ropes that bind us are burned away. Now here the point is that God created us, he created us good. And he created us, he put in us some of the natural desires that we have. Now sin is not a different set of desires that invades us. But sin is a twisting of those same good desires God gave us. It's as if sin wound these ropes around the good desires and dragged us off into places God did not want us to go. Let me share with you example, just one example, but a very poignant and I think a pretty relevant example in terms of the world in which we're living in today. And that example is our sexuality. We were created as sexual beings, man and woman. Two genders, that's all. Two genders, he created us. And these two genders, these two very different individuals, complement one another perfectly in every way. That is how God created us. And then he gave the command to procreate, to be fruitful and multiply. and to love and take care of each other. That's how God laid it out. That's the way life was intended. But the ropes of sin have wrapped themselves around and dragged this gift of our sexuality into places that God never intended. In fact, into places where God commanded that it not. The gender and sexuality battles that are going on in our culture, in our public schools, it's evil. It's awful. And it is so detrimental and so confusing to so many of our young people. To deny or ignore the way that God has created us are these ropes wrapped around this beautiful gift and taken to places God never intended. The struggle that so many people have today with pornography, the evils of sexual abuse, cohabitation, living together outside of marriage, it's a given in our culture today. It's just assumed that that is what you do. And there's no other thought given to that. To speak of marriage, just marriage and how hard marriage can be. It's real. It is not easy. The struggles, the arguments, the pull, the wounds that are in so many marriages. And it goes on and on. How these ropes have wrapped themselves around this beautiful gift of our sexuality and dragged it into some awful, awful places. And there's so much more that could be said, but you get the point. I mean, that's enough. What does honest repentance do for us? When we confess our sin honestly, humbly, the fire of God's wrath burns those ropes away. They can. They do. And he sets us free, truly free. As Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. God desires real. Our inclination is to run and hide. It's to pretend, hey, I'm purified. I don't need any help. I'm all good. But God wants real. He wants the truth that Jesus set out for us. A truth that really does set us free. The ropes, the sin, they're real. But we can't stay there. Don't stay there. Let the fire of God's wrath burn those ropes. Free us. Receive again and again and again God's gift of forgiveness, the assurance of his love. He wants real. And I know that this is heavy stuff today. But I needed to be real, because what is real, both on the dark side of this, the burning side of this, but on the rising from the ashes side of this, it's life-giving. Honest repentance is what the Lord desires for us. To be real in every regard, to be real with ourselves, to be real with Him, to be real with one another. And my prayer for all of us is that we allow God to continue to purify us day after day after day through honest repentance, through His Word and the sacraments, and through the work of His Holy Spirit and the promises and the power that He pours into us that are life-giving and are true freedom. The what now for today? If you want to grab your Bring It Home insert, it's also up on the screen. My urging is, make it a point this week to start each day with honest repentance. Be real before God and with yourself. Confess your sin and put yourself humbly into God's hands. Let His purifying fire assure you of His forgiveness, His love, and the new life He gives you to begin and to live in every single day. It's freedom, folks. It's truth. It's Jesus.